I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirits Work. For the next hour, we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife when spirit guide Gregory Hay communicates with us through Mick's incredible gift of deep trance channeling. As usual on the show, spirit guide Gregory will borrow Mick Avery's body to bring us information that will expand your knowledge about life on Earth, the universe, and other dimensions. And today's show is going to be another chance for you to send in a question to, or phone in a question to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, not a personal reading type of situation, but basically a question about metaphysics or anything to do with the spiritual pathways or the earth energies, the afterlife, the universe and everything. So if you have a question, you can phone in, and the number is free phone in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. I'd just like to welcome you all to the Spirits Work Show on bbsradio.com, here live every Sunday at 1 p.m. EST, that's 10 a.m. PST, which is 6 p.m. GMT. Yes, we've caught up with you guys in America at long last. And if you'd like to know more about us, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And now, present for European and UK listeners, it is at www.mickavery.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we get and gain a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. Now, when I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until the spirit team bring me back, so that you as an audience don't have any interference from my conscious mind while spirit guide Gregory Hay uses my physical body. And I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
So goodbye for now.
Thanks, Mick. Gregory Hay is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of greater intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of eminent scientific minds of all description, and they come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to steer us toward a more harmonious future. They're an educational group responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. They're also responding to a need from our planet because it is essential that we change our attitude towards it. They bring information that helps us to look at our world with a different perspective, as well as anything and everything beyond our world. So, like I said, you can phone in and speak to Spirit Guide Gregory about the things the subject that we're talking about, but you maybe have an equally as interesting subject that is going to be gripping for other people as well, like I say, not too personal. But your views and thoughts about things are absolutely fine. You can also send in your suggestions or questions on email at any other time, and I will ask on your behalf live on the show to Gregory. I will put them to him. That is enq@spirit-teaching.com. You can find out all about that and us, like Mick said, on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Now, all is not lost if you would like a reading, a private, personal, one-to-one reading with Gregory. We do, obviously, phone readings, and we do them all of the time. So if you would like to have a look at our Akashic Readings page on our website and see if that is something that you think is going to be beneficial for you. If you're stuck on your pathway, not knowing which way to turn quite at the moment, then it might well be the thing for you. In a little, how can I round it up? Basically, it's a spiritual reading, but it will enable you to become more connected, not only spiritually, but to do with your material and physical life as well. And the two things can be blended and married into the direction and the pathway that you should be going, basically. So you would find out about your gifts, your energy, your core energy and gifts that you have there to unfold or enhance. Maybe you're already working with your gifts. Maybe you have others that are yet undiscovered. All sorts of situations can be very enlightening, shall we say, quite staggering, really. Gregory is able to do many things that are quite mind-boggling and go to your soul group and to your halls of learning and find out where you're from, and it's just absolutely fascinating. Quite different probably from anything that you've ever done before. Anyway, apart from that, we hope you're going to have a lovely day, and I'm sure you are, and Spirit Guide Gregory Hay is with us now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings as ever, my dear friend little bird. Hello and greetings to you, everyone.
So, would you like to start with a preamble today? I know that we still have some questions from listeners from last week and a couple more that came in since then to do with stimulating a capacity for change within ourselves and changing our luck to do with our environment, our pathway, our ways of thinking, the landscape, you name it. We want to get on that positive pathway for change.
Yes, my dear friend. Well, so to begin with, so many people feel that if they are disenfranchised by something, that is, they don't have a vested interest within it, or perhaps they feel that they cannot commit or make some kind of contribution to something, that they actually find that they are, in a sense, lacking in energy, or that quite simply, they don't take part in the matrix of sorting it out, or of dealing with it, or changing it in some way. Oftentimes, human beings, we have understood, and from our observations of many different centuries, we understand that many human beings tend to take a kind of an offhand approach that someone else will sort it for them, that someone else will make up the difference between inactivity and the very detrimental states in which human beings find themselves, so that someone else will deal with the problem. It's exactly the same when you look at different matters of childcare or different matters of child rearing or abuse or some other such matter. What you tend to find, if you are in the situation is that you have children who are at school and one is being bullied. It's quite a common occurrence, I understand, in your present day and age. Normally, this situation would have arisen climatically through different species simply because the weakest will become bullied by those who are the strongest, vying for genetic supremacy. That is the general rule of thumb when you are looking at beings of a physical nature. It is not something that actually happens at all in the spirit world. But what we find in physical reality is that oftentimes people are humiliated or are diminished in some way, purely and simply by the antics of those who, for one reason or another, are either oblivious to this person's own sensitivity, or perhaps are actually constructing some kind of dismissive attitude toward them, which then enables them to feel less of themselves, and then progressively so. It's something which then becomes inherent within that person's life. We have witnessed a great many beings who have been treated in this way by both their peers, others who are elder, and also, surprisingly, others who are younger, or even others who are of the opposite gender. This means to say opposite gender as in females against males rather than the other way around. That is what you would normally expect it to be, that males are the conquering parts of the species and females are the submissives. So the situation that we have observed is that within many structures and stratas of society, any given society, you will observe the different behaviors unqualified by certain caches of that society and how they interact with people who are deficient or somehow different, not saying that all people are different are then therefore deficient, but simply that they are different from themselves. Therefore, oftentimes they will feel threatened. Sometimes they will feel disenfranchised simply by that person being enabled within their own space, as though they shouldn't be there, as though the very fact of their presence means to someone who is a bullier of someone else that actually by that person's frail presence or their difference, that is somehow a threat to them. It's an interesting facet we have noted within humankind, and note with great alarm that the further the situation becomes inclement, whereby you have large numbers of people collecting together in denser and denser populations, you naturally have these situations of bullying being created by people who are in these tender states, and oftentimes by people who are actually disenfranchised themselves in some way, perhaps because their own lack of insight, self-esteem, or some other facet of their life. The reason why I bring this up is because I understand that for some societies, this is very large, looms very great upon the horizon of their personalities. And for others, it's like something that they observe in other nations, but not to do with them. If you look at natural tribes and the way that these different tribes create their pathway, you will actually see and note that for some tribes, the condition of bullying simply doesn't exist, even though they may well carry within their tribe people who are diminished in some way, either through their mind or through their physical activity or ability, or purely and simply because they're just different. Think differently. Oftentimes, people in some tribes will think that these laities, these people within their midst, are somehow special or somehow enchanted, as they are. So this, in a sense, brings about a different kind of illumination within those beings. It actually means that these people, the ones who are different to them, have something different to offer. And they actually treat this as a rather more grandiose situation within their tribe. They are very welcomed. They are very happy to have these special beings within their presence. Alternatively, you will have conditions whereby within the strongest rule overall, that particularly if there are certain conditions of passage, we'll say that perhaps some young men may, for example, go out and use alcohol in order to strengthen their own moral value or their own standing within themselves. How they look upon themselves, how they treat their own validity, simply means that by bringing this about, we can observe that different traits of these beings come to the foreground. if you look at societies as a whole, and I know that I am not necessarily fishing here, but I am moving somewhat not from the description of this, but simply how it can be then imposed upon others. Bullying is not just something which is in turn for those who are weakest of mind. It may well be adults versus children, or it may well be perhaps some strata of a society against how they would like to manipulate others. This oftentimes can come about with unseen forces, in a sense as though you are dealing with situations which are very much undercurrent and not there in the mainstream, not there acknowledged by all of that society. So you get the strangest of situations, the strangest of circumstances which actually can arise. It can become that, for example, within some societies, that they may actually see ways of manipulation are simply to their betterment. And therefore, they are able to mold their children, their offspring, the little ones in their genetic group or whatever. They can manipulate them into a certain quality of behavior which they themselves want them to aspire to make. I know this is extremely strange. How could one think that a society could do this? In many terms, the state of bullying does not really enter into this kind of state of affray between one set of people, human beings, within a tribal society and another group. Except for that, some groups or structures within that society find that they are so threatened that they will use any ploy in order to undermine or to create subversion or adversion within the group by those who are gradually being born as children and then coming into prominence within the group. So it means that this then becomes a kind of an undercurrent of subversive manipulation by, unfortunately, sometimes mainstream governments. And that this can actually happen on a governmental level, not just a tribal situation of a small tribe, as in North American natives or peoples of the Amazon rainforest or something like that. It actually hardly ever would happen in a people like that. But perhaps to matters of, let's say, a people of Japan. We note with great sin, depravity, the situations that are occurring within that country of the manipulation of government states of allegiance and how they are trying to manipulate the minds of children. This is a serious conquest we are talking of here. And purely and simply, in as much as many other Asian nations will try to manipulate their young in order to subvert their minds and in order, which is a form of bullying, that's what I'm saying, and then in order to finish the manipulation, to make it as a managed fait accompli, as a managed way of manipulating a people so that they then begin to actually adopt other ideas about themselves and other forms of behavior. In a sense, it's like retraining a people through something that is subversive, not telling them actually or not allowing them to acknowledge what that subversion is, and in actual fact, bringing about complete lies and fabrication to do with that form of subversion. And what I'm coming to here is that actually to do with the state of Japan itself and what they are actually about is really to do with the culling of dolphins, the killing of dolphins, which is brought about simply and purely because the eastern coast of Japan actually has many, many coves, little ways and bays, in a sense, whereby entrapment of dolphins is actually extremely easy to do. And what this situation of civilization is bringing about is the complete annihilation of the species of dolphin. And simply what they're doing is by using people, human beings, in boats to make noises on the sides of the hulls of the little boats that they use, simply disorientates the dolphins into forming a very tight shoal, which is then herded into a cove, any number of small coves, which run completely, as I say, along the coast of the eastern coast, in fact, all the way around the islands of Japan, that what is then done is that they are simply butchered once they reach the shallows. It, in a sense, smacks of the same activities that happened during the Grund in the Faroe Islands with pilot whales. But with this situation, it gets even worse than that, because not only is this a situation which is carried out, but that then the meat subsequently, after it is prepared, is then fed to children as being tuna fish. And the children don't actually know that what they are eating is dolphin. This is an attempt to gain their palates so that they become happy at eating this form of meat, in exactly the same way as has been happening within the same country to do with the palatability of whale meat, because in actual fact, all young people in Japan don't eat whale meat. It's only the people over the age of about 40 that tend to eat whale meat. And that's simply because all of the young people, they've never actually been brought up on it. And quite simply, the form of bullying that the government of that country was trying to bring about simply didn't work, didn't wash, and they were not interested. They didn't simply like it. So that what is happening now in this subversive country is that the conditions surrounding this is that children are being given something that they don't realize of what the real substance is. The reason why I bring this up is because we have noted that for human beings, there are many governments who will go to almost any lengths in order to subvert their own natural state and the behavior of those people within it. That's exactly the same kind of treatment that even a child in a playground, in a schoolyard, or wherever would have from a person who is trying to usurp their authority and identity by pushing them into a corner or knocking them to the floor or something else. They're trying to rearrange their navigation of sensitivity to the physical world and creating this by a form of violence and intimidation. This is exactly the same way that Japan are cheating, unfortunately, their youngsters in both kindergarten schools and young schools in general. I am not here being racist. Please do understand this. I have no animosity toward any race whatsoever. The situation is intolerable if any government from any country mistreats their children or mistreats any beings who are coming into living within that society. Chinese is exactly the same in this respect within their futuristic society and in the way that they model people's minds in order to accepting certain values within the constraints of their own lack of free will. So what we have and the overture necessary with this was that we wanted human beings generally upon the world to be understanding within this realization that there are many practices still yet apparent upon the earth for which there is no rhyme or reason or description other than to say that the states of what human beings will determine as a form of violent behavior upon others even comes down to the manipulation of other species of being we share the planet with, that you currently share the planet with in physical life, and that we share with once in spirit. That is why it is all so necessary for us to talk about it, and for you as human beings living the physical life, for you to act upon it.
And how do you suggest that we act upon it? I mean, I know you're not being anarchistic and
etc. No, absolutely not. This kind of behaviour is intolerable.
Yes, I know. What do you suggest?
I suggest
that our listeners do.
I suggest that human beings write to whatever government departments of whatever country you happen to live in order to solicit opinion, in order to solicit your own opinion upon them. That of the brevity of the situation cannot be tolerated, and that you have to protest. It is only about the rest of the planet protesting about the behaviors of one country or certain people within that country that will actually manage them to subsist it, to actually sustain it or to stop it. If you don't do that, you're sustaining the action. If you do achieve it, then you are limiting it or making it become extinct.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, that's all of the time. You say to us, you know, you have a voice, use it, and that is exactly what we must do.
Yes,
I think we can't get complacent and we can't get so numbed by all of these awful things that we hear about day after day.
No, you actually have to stand up and do something about it.
Absolutely.
And that's why we're saying it.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And if you would like to talk to Spirit Gregory about that situation or anything else, the number is free phone in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-815-9756, and international callers is not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. Okay, well, thank you for that. Okay, questions?
Yes.
What? Would you like to carry on talking about it?
No, that's quite all right. I was just going to say that, understand that I am not here casting a negative situation. This is not a negative situation. It becomes that if you allow it to continue and if you simply sit on your hands or sit on the fence or wherever else you'd like to sit but not include your voice in complaint.
Yes, well, there's no point in us having talk show programs that inform people about things or just debating and discussing situations and our opinions and inviting their opinions if we don't expect somebody to maybe run with the ball, you know, and actually act on it.
So.
I mean, that is the whole thing. That is the only way that we're going to conquer and save our planet, full stop, really, is by action, isn't it, in one way or another.
That is true.
So, and we do... You know, your the listener, your opinions are so valid, and you are valid. You know, it's your planet,
absolutely.
It's your world.
Yes,
and yes, absolutely. These places might be a long way away from us, but as soon as we know about it, we need to do something. Yes. Okay. Here we go then. Now, actually, last week we ended with the question from Kevin in Oregon about the moon and how it affects us, and you were talking about that.
Yes.
He also says, do other planets affect us as well?
And I was beginning to say, yes, they do, but only marginally. It depends, of course, entirely upon the distance the planet is away from the Earth. How the planets actually affect human state is really a matter of how that planet not exerts pressure upon the Earth or has gravitational field effects upon the Earth, which the majority of them don't. They simply really do not have an actual physiological effect that you can detect and say, ah, yes, there it is, there's a little blink there. You see, it doesn't actually exist. Not in terms of the mechanisms that you have in order to register it. So what that means is that you have to look for other situations, other ideals, which are the energies between each planet, not just the other altar planets to do with their energy with yours, with the Earth. So, for example, Uranus, the energy of Uranus, has, because it is such a large planet, actually is still contained because of its distance from the Earth in its state. So that means to say that how it actually affects the Earth may be marginal and may be very suspect. But in actual fact, what happens is that its effect upon the Moon may be more so than its effect upon the Earth. And therefore, because it affects the Moon, simply, that affects you more than the Moon would if it didn't exist. So the Moon, of course, surrounding, moving around its orbit around the Earth. What we tend to look at is that within the aspect of the Moon, we see that there are certain specific tidal changes which happen on a cyclical way of events, and that simply what happens is that we have a different kind of situation of balance that happens to human beings as they are becoming subjected to the Moon's pressures in exactly the same way that tides are affected upon the Earth. Now, if you were looking at perhaps Mars, there are more situations of, how can I say, ancient mythology to do with the planet Mars than its actual effects upon the Earth itself, even though it is the closest of planets, and even though its impact upon the planet is oftentimes more philosophical than actual, than in the physical fabric. We understand that purely and simply because it's the red planet doesn't mean to say it is any more hostile or creates more hostile visionary states to do with human beings. I understand that in many respects the fact of the presence of Mars and how it affects human beings is really can be measured by certain elliptical changes that happen within the structure of mind and how human beings then feel pressured from one part of a cycle of its proximity to the Earth to another. So, for example, at certain months of the year, we note that Mars is actually very close to the Earth in its cycle of advancement. And then at other times, we find it is further away. So, obviously, the impacts of these times are more greatly felt, but within a very subtle range of differences. These may be conditions that then illuminate certain kinds of strange structures of actually different kinds of pressure within the physical brain activity and the physical area, void, that the brain actually, physical brain, sits in. So we can observe that there are very subtle changes within these, which simply don't happen right across the board of human state, but are more to do with the various different changes of how genetically people display themselves. So that, for example, if you have a human being whose skull is actually slightly thinner than a person whose skull is of a normal thickness, then we may well find that some people within the variegation of this genetic manipulation, that their skull thickness would actually determine their predisposition to different other forms of activity simply because of the planet Mars's activity. And that's only at certain points at which, usually within the first few months of the activity of the year, when Mars is more present.
That's interesting. Does this person, do these people that have this situation, or is it just a physiological situation to do with that particular formation of the skeletal structure?
Yes, it is just those certain people.
Okay.
So that's really how it becomes more illuminated.
But some people actually do feel that they do get affected by Mars, for instance, and we're talking about Mars. So
yes, that's
would that
true.
Be that person?
Not necessarily, but it does, in a sense. I was really simply using the skeletal structural analogy simply to make a point of where it is at its worst, so that human beings who actually suffer from different manipulations of Mars, however that is presented within them, it's usually that they have severe fatigue or severe bouts of, strange overcomings of manipulation. Particularly, I have to say, migraine sufferers suffer greatly from the effects of Mars.
How interesting.
And that's purely and simply not just because it's the closest other planet other than the Moon, but because of the structure in which it creates, because of its, not magnetism, but because of the elements in which it is made.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That then create a different magnetic pull upon the Earth's core, which is made of a similar structure.
Okay, so
it's a bit like, I suppose, if you looked at different magnets and you held them at a farther enough distance apart, you would find that their strengthening issues, when they passed closer together, were that the electromagnetic or static particles surrounding each of those magnets would become that they would become more active in a different way when those two poles passed at their closest points.
Okay, so there must be other creatures and situations
that face similar things.
Affected by Mars.
Yes, well, dolphins do too.
Mm.
Dolphins are very susceptible to Mars as well as the Moon.
Mm.
In this respect, it means that the unfortunate time periods of between, let me see, December through to April will be the weakest months for dolphins themselves to become persecuted or to be at the whim of the natural world.
Because
they don't have all of their wits about them, or because their sonic activity is interfered with by the electromagnetic or static forces emanating from the central core of the planet.
And that's to do with Mars as well? Or
yes.
Okay.
Because we are looking at metals of a heavenly body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something which, when you have taken down the structure of space in between two different heavenly bodies, you actually find that because of black mass, that there is very little structure in between those two planets in a physical sense. So it means that there is nothing actually barring the energy from moving from one to the other, or the attraction of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yes, it's interesting though, isn't it? I mean, you know, all of the things that we actually know about that are against us and the creatures that we share the planet with, and just a simple question about you know, other planets and all of this information about Mars just brings up a whole new realm of problems. I mean, is there a good side to this situation?
Well, the good side is that oftentimes this kind of energy in other people can make themselves more magnanimous, can make them be more active and direct and forceful. So that means also for some people who are not displaced within this kind of structure, skeletal analogy of which I've just painted, that what they are going to do is that they're going to think in a completely different way. Oftentimes you will find that people at the beginning 4 months of the year are actually thinking not in terms of healing and licking their own wounds, but actually of thinking, right, how am I going to beat this year?
But isn't that, we put that down to spring and actually
yes,
kicking off the new year with a positive attitude and, you know, like I say, the lighter evenings and the lighter mornings. And
yes, true.
Just a fresh start.
Of course, and that will have a different effect, particularly with the different forms of chemical activity that is created by the lengthening of days and all the rest of it, and the activity of the sun, of course, which, of course, is never the same at any 2 years on the trot. So it means to say that any activity which is taking place within the sun and how it's actually affecting the earth itself is going to be slightly different and altered, where the situation varies and where the situation is almost a copycat state will be that it affects people of a certain genetic disposition when Mars is at its closest point to the Earth, in order to, or when it is most effective to the Earth, when it is in fact then creating the greatest situation of energy between them.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Is there any, what do you think about the situation to do with daylight savings time and the way we change the clocks and that sort of thing? And I mean, there's always talk about new ways of doing it as well. You know, obviously nobody can agree on one thing because everybody has their reasons for doing it that clash with somebody else.
Yes, I understand that.
How do you think this really affects us and the way we live and, well, and everything really to do with our life here?
Well, when it affects the way you live, surely the greatest thing that you need to look at is if it's affecting the way you live by the way in which different people's behavior then affects the morality or affects the way in which beings in general are able to behave, shall we say, then perhaps that does it affect the animal world? No, absolutely not. They can't tell the time anyway. So it's completely pointless as far as the animal world is concerned. Does it affect certain farmers, perhaps, who raise certain kinds of animals? Well, yes, it might, but all they have to do is do it at a different time. Or so if it is to do with, let's say, chicken farmers who are complaining that if you change the clocks, then it simply means that it makes the chickens that they are actually laying their eggs earlier or something like that, or later. They're not actually laying them later, they're just laying them when they lay them. So they just have to alter the structure of their daily routine around what it is that they have to recreate. Either that or put the chickens under lamps and stop all the daylight from them altogether. That will, I'm sure, benefit everyone.
Yes, of course.
The other ways in which it is going to help or hinder human progress, we observe that there are many, many children who actually become accident-prone during times when, if daylight saving time is not altered at these times, and that you do not have a change, that you are actually restricting the whole process of how children manage to move from one place to another during the winter months or something like that, simply because it's darker.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, so it's they're more prone to traffic accidents.
Yeah. Okay. So but it's nothing. There isn't any.
It's absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the natural world.
Yeah, and there's nothing to do with our energy and that situation.
No, absolutely not.
Other than the obvious.
It simply changed human behaviour. That's all that it is.
Okay. All right then.
Yes.
Okay. Here we have a question here from Eva in New York.
Yes, Eva in New York.
Week we were talking about, we had a question from somebody about germs in the auric field and that sort of thing. And
yes.
Can we capture germs in our aura to contaminate ourselves?
And my answer was no.
Absolutely. But somebody, Eva's come back and said, but can you cleanse your aura for other reasons?
Not for germs, because they don't affect.
Yeah, but for other reasons, can you personally cleanse your aura?
You as a physical being may, by sitting and by bringing about a form of meditation, sesi meditation, and asking the spirit world to help you in this regard.
Okay.
So simply cite it within your invocation.
So what if you're not into the spirit world per se? Is there anything?
Then don't bother.
Okay, there's nothing that you can do really.
No, put a bucket of water over your head. I don't know. The point is that whatever you do, if you don't actually recognize anything at all to do with the spirit world, then simply use something that's a placebo. And that may well work just as well as swallowing a pill that contains absolutely nothing whatsoever.
Mm, okay.
The other condition will be just imagine it, that it doesn't exist. Will that actually help you? Maybe not. Mm. But the point is, with mind manipulation, oftentimes because of the gullible mind, because if a person, human being, is not practicing within the orientation of how they are able to actually manipulate mind and mind control in their physical life, if they just allow all kinds of willy-nilly situations, all and sundry, to develop in their lives and are not strong enough to dictate against it or to strike out against it, then you are going to succumb to all manner of different variants that people want to put against you or that you put against yourself. So I'm suggesting here that there are possible pathways for you to change. There may well be situations whereby you cannot help what is going on, that the structure is too strong against you. That's nothing to do with your auric field. That's something else completely different. Perhaps some kind of manipulation that's happening by someone else's or a collection of other people's minds against you. So that's something that's completely different. If you're just talking about situations or effects of physical life that have been tainted within your aura, you're only going to carry them around for as long as you remember them, or for long as you retain the memory, and that you keep playing the memory over and over again. That will simply allow the memory to linger within the auric field, and then that you then gain the same kind of response to it and then feel it's still present whilst you continue your journey upon the earth.
Hmm, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It all depends what it is that you think you're carrying around.
Absolutely so.
We talked about smudging the other week.
Yes, yes, absolutely so.
You can smudge yourself with sage grass.
Yes, of course.
So I'm not quite sure what Eva means by that.
Yes.
But and you also did say about having a shower, when you have a shower, to visualize, didn't you?
Yes, to visualize the water cleansing yourself and your auric field.
Mm. Yes.
That's a very good situation to do.
But we do make a big thing of the auric field, don't we? And we had an interesting question last night that I want to share with listeners. We did a public seminar last night, and one of the members of the audience asked about her. She said that she was told that she had a loose etheric being, built body. Was it body or being?
A loose etheric body.
Yes. She'd been told that by somebody.
But at least it wasn't frigid.
It was really, it's interesting though, isn't it? The things that people tell people. I mean, I can't imagine,
yes,
you know, why somebody would say that. I don't know. Is it because people come up with, they just, because they feel they've been asked the problem, or maybe they are the
teacher,
they have
to come up with an answer.
They have to come up with an answer and say that, and then
yes,
somebody, this person is walking around worried about this situation.
Their loose etheric body.
Whatever that can possibly mean.
Does that mean it's going to wobble away from them, or that there's some kind of tether which is going to break? That is often actually something, believe it or not, which is brought up, that the etheric bead will simply break away, or that beings are actually told that the situation is going to be that perhaps some kind of organism or whatever is going to break their etheric bead simply because of its presence.
Mm, and just to tell our listeners that the etheric bead is attached to your solar plexus, and that is what attaches your spirit to you, the physical
yes,
body.
Yes, and so was actually attached at
birth.
Before birth.
Well, yeah, Inception. So basically, yes, and other people also worry about the fact that if they meditate and go off too far, that they won't come back, and that will break, and then they'll be they'll be gone. So. But anyway, we digress.
Yes,
it's all interesting things that maybe people have heard about or think about from time to time. Nevertheless,
yes.
Okay, right. Well, we have a question here from Jane in the UK. She's heard that Archangel Raphael is known as the celestial physician, and if you invite him into your life by wearing emerald green or writing your healing request on green paper while burning a green candle, Raphael will be invoked and you have to face east on a Wednesday. This is the best way to invoke this being, but that he will listen whenever you are in need, actually. Talking about things that people get told, can you have some input on this, please, because she's a little confused.
I would be not confused. I would be deliriously happy that I wouldn't have to invoke such a thing, nor that I would have to go through such a ritual practice in order to invoke something which actually doesn't exist.
Okay. You know, because we were talking, she sent this into us because we're talking about, like I say, believe it or not, I know we talk about all sorts of things.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, this program. But we were talking about how you can change your luck and make yourself a more successful future. But it was an angel doctor that actually told her to do this.
An angel doctor. Mm. I like it.
So, okay. So, well, don't worry about it, Jane. Just disregard it.
I wonder if that person has...
I hope you didn't spend lots of money on it.
...trademarked their name or their... yes.
Mm.
I expect so.
Mm. Okay. So here we have another one from the UK, and this is from Dot. I've had bad luck and health ever since moving into my house, and now I can't seem to sell it either.
Yes.
Is there any... I mean, I know this is not like a...
It is most probably a geophysical stress situation.
Mm.
That could possibly have important consequences for your condition of health. Yes. Partly why you've become... ill over it, not just because of the inactivity of being able to sell it, but simply because of the energy of the place or how that energy emittance is then creating interference when other people come to the dwelling itself. I would suggest, dear friend, some kind of geophysical survey would be apparent upon the dwelling.
Can I just say that the thing is, if you've been ill, had a lot of illness, and the energy is low with the people that live in the house, you know,
yes.
It's quite negative,
yes.
As it would be,
yes.
If you're feeling ill, and from, you know, lurching from one bad luck situation to another, that the energy in the house would not be very conducive for somebody looking...
That is very true.
...to buy a house.
Yes, that is very true, too. And this will then come about within how the facet of the house is presented and how that is actually put across. So to begin with, then one would have to treat with the condition of your own personal illness and what effects that is actually having upon the fabric of the dwelling.
Well, I'm a great one for changing... You know, if things aren't working for you in one way or another, I think, you know, I'm a great one for making big changes or small changes gradually, but building up to something hopefully that would be a big change in your life, as in a positive situation.
Yes, absolutely so.
So something, I don't know if you've got any running water, that would help, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. Changing the colour of the rooms will help. Don't use colours that are... insipid, and certainly don't use colours that are too vibrant or violent. But actually use colours which are inviting and calming, but as yet at the same time create a different kind of atmosphere of insight and clarity. so that, for example, if your dwelling place has darker colors or something, or a great deal of wood, probably the best thing you can do is to paint all of the walls in the entire dwelling the same color. Purely and simply, use a kind of a situation which is light and permeable, that people are then able to identify with as being able to breathe within the place.
A sunny colour, sort of a...
Yes.
Cream or
a bamboo or something like that.
Primrose.
Yes, which then and limits the amount of objects placed about the room or upon the walls. Allow the space to dictate itself rather than being able to put things which then detract the eye from the sensations within the field of existence within the room itself.
Mm.
And that goes through all of the rooms throughout the dwelling. Mm. So paint them all in one color and use perhaps white paintwork or something like that, which is clear, clean and unobtrusive, and will simply allow you to follow the shapes and eye of the room so that it's something which is not monosyptic, but something which is calming and unobtrusive.
And it will be good for you, for your mind as well, not to, because you associate yourself and your feelings of your life in the recent past as being, you know, this is how I am. It will actually try and fool your senses into believing that you are already on the road to changing your life around.
Yes, absolutely so.
Every little helps. Anyway, we can talk about things like that and anything you like next time, Gregory. We've come to the end of the show.
Very well, then. With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway, little bird. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless everyone.
Okay.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed the show, and do visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm getting my mixed words up here. You like that. And my name is Sylvie Avery. This has been Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.